the ministry of Jesus.
He had preached his message. He had shown his miracles. He had placed himself in a position above, not equal with the law, but above the law. Not equal with the great prophets and all that of old, but above all of that. Not equal with the angels, but above that. He had placed himself on a level plane with God, the Father. And they wanted him to stop. And they were willing to do whatever it took to get that done.
So here's what I want to give you tonight. And I'm going to read the text. But I got this thought today as I was looking at this. What Jesus did when things got hard. What Jesus did when things got hard. Verse number 6, look at what your Bible says. Mark 3, verse number 6. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians. Now, I ain't even going to get into all that, but here's what I'm going to say. Right off the bat, when the religious crowd didn't like what Jesus was doing, they hooked right on up with the crowd that was totally against them. It's amazing how that happens. It's amazing how the religious crowd or use the world's crowd to shut you down. Listen to this. They straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself and his disciples to the sea. A great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and from Jerusalem, from Idumea and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did. By the way, they came because they heard what he did. They didn't get to hear what he said until he got them there with what he did. Church, how you get people to hear what the preacher says, they're going to do it based on what you do. If they come in the door, it won't be because of something I said, it'll be because of something you did. That ain't my message, but that'll preach. Listen to this. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. It's amazing how the religious crowd couldn't recognize God, but the devils could. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have the power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. This don't have nothing to do with my message, but there's actually a church, I believe it's in Georgia, called Boanerges Baptist Church. And as cool as that is to me, that's got to be the weirdest church name I ever heard of. Which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. This, again, I'm giving you some little nuggets along the way, but let me say this about that. Jesus always knew who Judas was.
That's right.
Jesus don't get surprised, y'all. He knew what the deal was. Listen to this. And they went into an house. Now I'm going to stop right there for a minute.
I want to show you what Jesus did when things got hard. I said it one time, but I'll say it like this tonight. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to pursue Jesus in any capacity or try to live a life that is pleasing to God, I'm here to tell you tonight, I know that Joel Osteen and them told you that it was going to be happy-go-lucky and you was going to have sunshine and blue skies and all the puppy dogs you could handle and all the money in your bank account that you could ever spend, and everything was going to be good, and your wife won't never going to get mad at you, and your kids won't never going to get nasty, and everything was going to work out just right. But I'm telling you, they're wrong, they are wrong, they are wrong. They need to read their Bible, because what I know from reading and studying this scripture is that if you are going to live of a life that is in pursuit of the things of God, there's going to come a time when it gets hard.
Yes.
I promise. Say, preacher, it ain't got hard yet. Well, you better get ready.
Mm-hmm.
I like to preach a message in the book of Job, chapter number 40 of the book of Job. When Job begins to speak to God, he says, "The thing which I greatly feared hath come upon me. I did not dwell in safety." Here's what Job said: "I thought everything was cool, but it won't." Hey, y'all, you might think everything's hunky-dory, but I'm telling you right now, as sure as I am standing in front of you tonight, the devil is real, and that thief goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy, and that is his only purpose, and he's good. He's been doing it for a long time. And not only that, but Satan, that same Satan, is not only a tool of evil, but he is a tool of God. He's a pawn on the chessboard of God that is designed to tempt you and to test you in ways that will strengthen your faith and show you your weaknesses and cause you to examine yourself. I'm telling you, hard times are coming. Say, "Preacher, that ain't a real happy-go-lucky message." No, but it's a Bible message. Hard times are coming. And Jesus right here, his ministry was booming. Things were going right. I'm talking about John the Baptist was off the scene and Jesus was on the scene and he was preaching the message, "God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here to bring you life. God has sent me through a virgin's womb that I can give my life for yours. I'm going to save the people from their sins." And not only that, but he was healing and he was redeeming and casting out devils and reconciling families and making things right, and everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, got hard. All of a sudden, he had an enemy. And this enemy was strong. This enemy was powerful. This enemy had the weight of the Roman government behind him. This enemy had the weight of the people of God behind him. The weight of the temple and the hierarchy of it behind him. They had money. They had means. They had opportunity. And they had ability. They were looking to shut Jesus down, and I'm telling you, he was not the first one that they set out to shut down. They had been at this for a long time, and they were very effective. Things were getting hard. You say, "But preacher, was Jesus not God?" Yes, Jesus is God. I understand that. And he said himself, even when he was on the cross, that if he wanted to, he could have called down legions of angels to take him off the cross, but he didn't. He accepted the world that he was in the way it was so that he could put himself in our place. He was tempted at all points like as we are. I've laid a foundation. I promise I'm going to preach a message. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Things were getting hard in the life and ministry of Jesus. So let me show you some things that Jesus did. This is a build up to the next sermon in this series, which will, I guess, be our last one for the year next Wednesday night in this series. But I want to set this up right. I want to show you some things that Jesus did when things got hard. First of all, I want you to see this. He had a realistic response to the opposition. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, the Pharisees got together with the Herodians. All right, the religious crowd got hooked up with the government, and they had a goal in mind. They sat down, they had a plan to meet. They wrote up on the whiteboard, "Destroy Jesus." You understand? That was the goal. That was in their vision board. That was what they wanted to do. They sat down and thought about it, talked it out. Look what your Bible says, verse number 6. They straightway took counsel with the Herodians. They talked it out with them. How are we going to destroy Jesus? You say, what did Jesus... Because hey, look, everybody stop right there for a second. I want you to see this. Because in my mind, here's what I'm thinking. Time to call some fireballs in. I mean, time to call down some legions of angels, right? It's time to get out on the street corner and pray down fire and brimstone from heaven on these fools. Take them out. That's what I mean. When I saw that, I'm thinking, man, it's time to start, shooting some lightning bolts. They're wanting to destroy Jesus. I said, what did he do, preacher? Look at verse number 7. He withdrew himself. He withdrew himself. He had a realistic response to the opposition. Let me tell you something. Boldness and liberty in Christ is not pride and boastfulness and arrogance. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that boldness in Christ is not the same as you fulfilling the lust of your pride. I'm saying that taking a stand for God does not give you a license to be arrogant. And I'll tell you what else it don't do. It does not give you the ability to decide how God is going to let the opposition respond in your life. You say, but preacher, what about these missionaries taking a stand in the Middle East? I thank God for them. But if they got any sense, hear me now, they're going to do it in a way that gives longevity to their ministry in a realistic way. Because, hey, listen, I'm glad they're taking a stand for God, but that don't mean they can't get their head cut off. Say, but isn't God going to protect them? God saved them. They ain't nothing but protected. With the head or without it, it's going to be all right. You got to understand the perspective of God here. Hey, you think Jesus didn't love John the Baptist? Jesus said about John the Baptist, he was the best man who ever lived. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. At this point, John the Baptist's head was already buried somewhere, separated from his body. What are you saying? I'm saying sometimes we have to have a realistic approach to what's going on. You know what Jesus did? He withdrew himself, and look what your Bible says. All of a sudden, everybody started coming where he was. Now let me ask you this question. Was Jesus' ministry more effective on the seaside with the multitudes coming to him? Or would it have been more effective if he'd have stood there and had a fist fight in the middle of the street with a bunch of government thugs? I mean, think about it. Sometimes, church, now listen. Don't get it twisted. I'm for standing on truth. There are areas where we must not ever compromise. But hear me out. If our goal is to increase the kingdom of God as much as we possibly can, then there are times when we are going to have to play the game in a way that makes us effective against a strong enemy. Here's what I'm saying. Let me put it like this. Brother Trent Coke. I talk about him all the time. Y'all know him. In a couple months, we're going to go visit them there in Taiwan. In a couple of years from now, he will begin his ministry in China. There are certain parts of the country of China where if you are found to be conducting a religious service of any kind, here's what they're going to do to you if you're American, hopefully. Hopefully, you're not... You know how sometimes when you get pulled over by a cop and you think, I hope he's in a good mood today? Hopefully they don't get the head chopper. Right? Hopefully all they get is booted out of the country, never to be allowed in again. Now let me ask you a question. If Trent Coker spends a week in China and gets booted out of the country because he thought that it was an effective ministry in that context to go out on the street corner and preach 24 hours a day and make himself known, how effective has he been? Think about it now. There's a better way to handle it. We confuse boldness with pride. Oh, but preacher, let me tell you what I'd do. Yeah, you'd be bowed out. And somebody else would have to raise money, spend 2 years on deputation and 2 years in language school, and hopefully make it through all that to get to go try to reach those people in China who ain't done nothing wrong but been born in a place where they're not allowed to go to church and hear the gospel preached. There's a way to conduct ministry effectively in the face of strong opposition. G. Jesus had a realistic response.
You say, but preacher, he could have called down fire from heaven. Yeah, he could have. He could have called down lightning bolts. Yeah, he could have. But he didn't. I wonder why he didn't. Because he was trying to show us how it was going to be for us. When things got hard, Jesus had a realistic response. When things got hard, Jesus gave clear instruction to his disciples. Hear me out right here. Verse number 9. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. I find it very interesting that he told them why. He doesn't always tell them why, but right here he told them why. You know, sometimes when you're dealing with people, when you're training people in the ministry, you got to give them more than because I said so. A lot of times when it comes to the things of God, we like to say stuff like, well, this is just the way we do it. Because this is just the way we do it, bless God. You're going to do it the way we do it. You know what the most dangerous question to a religious person is? Why? Why? Jesus said, here's what I want you to do, boys. I want you to go get me a ship, and I want you to put it back here. The reason I want you to put it back there is because these people are getting on me so much, I may have to step off the shore onto the ship and back off and let this thing settle down a little bit so that everybody can not get trampled all over out here. You say, why does it matter that he was specific? Well, it probably mattered on how far away from the shore they put the ship. Hey, fix me a ship offshore. Well, that could have been 100 yards out there. That's a whole lot different than stepping off the shore onto the boat. This is real simple, but hear me out. This really helped me right here because Jesus was specific in his instruction to his disciples. You guys that are discipling people, that are teaching people, bringing people along in the ministry, hear how Jesus handled this. He was not in a good place right here. He had people after him. He had people, even the people that were after him for the right reasons were after him. They were all over him. He was stressed out, frustrated, all of those things I would have been, certainly. But he still took the time to give clear instruction to his disciples. Look at verse number 10. For he had healed many, insomuch they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. Verse number 12. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. They came unto him. Look how he's handling this situation. You want to be a leader for God. You want to be able to disciple people. You want to be able to teach people and bring them along in the things of God, you're going to have to learn how to communicate effectively. This is real practical, but I'm telling you, this is going to help you. You have to learn how to communicate effectively and specifically, clearly. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. All right, Brother Brian, he's been with me for quite a while. God has knit our hearts together on a lot of things. Brother Randy, he's been with me for quite a while. We've had a lot of time spent together. There's a shorthand there. I can call Brian and say, hey, listen, we need X, Y, Z. And a lot of times there's not a whole lot of questioning. There's just, okay, this is how we're going to do it. Let's do it. Because there's a shorthand there. There's a trust that's developed there. But I'm telling you right now, it ain't like that in every situation. There are times when you have to be willing to explain yourself. That's why the Bible says you always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Some people, if you can't explain to them what's going on, you're never going to be able to get them to come with you. Think about it like this. If I took off running right now, hollering, there's about half of this room would probably just, well, probably all this room, would probably just get up and take off behind me. Right? But most time, in most situations, yeah, I'd say about half people would just get up and take off behind you. The other half would be sitting there going, what in the world's going on? Right? And that's a legitimate question. Sometimes we have to take the time to give clear instruction. I'm telling you, this ain't that easy. I struggle with this sometimes. Because sometimes the ministry becomes so fast-paced and so urgent and so so many things moving. It's so many moving parts in one place. It's hard to take the time. But I'm telling you, sometimes we got to take the time, or people are going to fall behind. He told them exactly what he wanted. By the way, he's given us clear instruction.
This is our example. We've got clear. You say, what should I do about this situation in my life? It's right here.
That's right.
We have clear. Jesus has given us a pattern of clear instruction and answers to our questions. That's how he operates.
What did Jesus do when things got hard? I'm trying to hurry. He had a realistic response to the opposition. He gave clear instruction to his disciples. But then I want you to see this. I'm almost done. He delegated the work, but not the authority. Look at verse number 13. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him. This is a very important phrase. Don't miss this. Whom he would.
How'd they decide who was going up the mountain? Jesus told them who it was going to be. How they decide who was going up there to get these delegated powers to go out and do what they were going to do? Jesus said, you, and you. Right?
He decided that. They didn't decide that. Church, are you listening to me? They didn't decide it. He decided it. We got a habit of trying to decide things for ourselves. Hey, look up in here. God knows what he's doing. He knows how to delegate. He decided who was coming. Now look at verse number 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. And that he might send them forth to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Then he names them off. Alright. Nowhere in here does Jesus tell them, all right, boys, now it's time for y'all to start making decisions based on what you think is the best thing to do. That ain't how it went down. Jesus called, he said, I want you, he called out 12. I want y'all 12 to come up here with me. Get along with me real quick. Let's get away from this crowd. And then he said, listen, boys, here's how it's going to be. I'm going to tell you where to go, and I'm going to tell you what to do when you get there. All I need from you is to do what I tell you to do. Let me say that again. Jesus told them, I'm going to tell you what to do, and I'm going to tell you where to go, and what to do when you get there, and here's what I need from you. I need you to do what I tell you to do. He delegated to them the work of the ministry, but he did not delegate to them the authority of the ministry. Because the authority belongs to him. He's the one in control. He's the one in the driver's seat. The power that they had, he gave them. Matter of fact, they come back to him once and they said, man, we out here casting out devils and demons and doing all that. Man, you wouldn't believe all this stuff we're doing. And you know what Jesus told them? He said, hey, don't rejoice that you got power of devils. Rejoice that your name's written in the book of life.
Amen.
Don't be thankful for what you can do. Be thankful for what I did for you.
Yep.
You want something to get happy about? Get happy about what I've done. Quit getting so worked up over what you've done. Are you hearing me, Christian? At no time in your life is Jesus ever going to hand you the keys and say, now you drive from here.
That's right.
Now here's how it's going to go down. He's given you clear instruction. He's told you where to go, what to do when you get there, how to do it, and he's going to be the one making the decisions. See, we like to put ourselves in a position where we get to decide. But I'm going to tell you what your decisions will get you. Right to the end of your ability. And what you're going to find out when you get there is it's not nearly as far as you had hoped it would be. But I got good news. Jesus went the distance. He knows what it takes to go all the way. He's got the right answers.
See, here's what will happen to you if you're not careful. I'm fixed to quit. But I'm telling you, I've lived this. Here's what will happen to you if you're not careful.
Jesus will delegate to you a work. Whatever that looks like. Whether it's preaching the gospel, whether it's preaching in prisons, whether it's playing the bass in a church house. Jesus will delegate to you a work. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
And then somewhere along the way, you will become so proficient at that that you'll start thinking that you're the one running the show. And here's what's going to happen to you right there. That's going to be the moment when you realize that you're coming up short. One of the most interesting stories to me in Scripture, the disciples were trying to cast out a devil. They were on their own. Jesus was up in the mountain. I believe it was a boy that came to him and that was throwing himself in the fire and throwing himself in the water, and there was a demon that had overtook him. And when Jesus got there, they said, "Man, we've been trying to cast this devil out. We can't do it. We've tried everything." You know what Jesus said? "Here's the solution." It's so simple what he said. He said, "Hey, boys, here's your problem. This kind goes not out by prayer and fasting." You know what he had? The answer. See, what they did was they got out to the end of their abilities. And if you're not careful, you'll get out to the end of your abilities because you'll think you're in the driver's seat and your decisions matter more than his decisions. And you'll begin to think that you've got it all figured out. And listen, that's where you will fall. You say, "What do I do next, preacher?" This is real important. You know why we got this cedar bench right here? This is real pretty. And it's nice. And it looks good. Fits nice. All that. But you know what this is really for? This is for that exact moment in your life when you realize that you've messed up, you've drove the car in the ditch, and you need the help of somebody that knows how to deal with the situation. This is where you meet him at. When you realize that your job is the work and not the authority, the way that you get your next assignment is from the one in authority.
Jesus said, "Boys, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send you out. And you're going to do what I tell you to do. And when you need me, I'll be right here." Here's what I want to say tonight, and I'm going to close. When you need him, he'll be exactly where he's always been. He'll be exactly who he's always been. And he'll have all the answers.